Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to 30. Resolved. Number one, Paul's mandate. Number two, Paul's motto. And number three, Paul's message to the church at Philippi. The poet wrote a prayer. The poets wrote prayers. Lord, grant unto me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And grant me courage, Lord, to change the things I can, and wisdom how to know the difference. Lord, make me strong for life. Stronger than this. For life brings unto me such painful things. Help me straighten after pain, as trees straighten after rain. Standing tall, shining, and lovely again. Lord, make me brave for life. Braver than this. For life brings unto me such blinding things. Please help me keep my sight. Please help me walk aright and see aright, that out of the darkness comes the light. Give me grace to rise from sorrow with quiet eyes, believing that your way, O Lord, is wise. The Apostle Paul is chained to a Roman guard. He's under house arrest. But he's praying for courage and wisdom to serve the will and purpose of God in the situation in which he is placed. He is turning difficulties into opportunities. He is turning setbacks into springboards. He is displaying great faith in the midst of affliction. Remember last week how he said, no matter what, no matter what, the gospel is being advanced. People are being converted. The whole palace guard knows about Christ. And no matter who criticizes me, all I'm concerned about is that the gospel advances in the earth. He ended by saying last week, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Now we come to this section from verses 19 to the end of the chapter. First of all, we have Paul's mandate. Let's read it together. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Here's his mandate. It is to honor Christ. Actually, that mandate was given to him, you remember, by the Lord himself through the mouthpiece of Ananias after the Apostle Paul had been converted. Do you remember what happened? There upon the Damascus Road, he'd met with the risen Christ. His life had been utterly transformed. He'd gone into Damascus. He'd been blinded. Ananias comes to him. The Lord speaks to him. He is my chosen vessel. He will represent me. He will honor me. He will stand before the Gentiles and the children of Israel and before kings. And he will suffer for my sake. Paul's mandate here is to honour Christ. And he wants to honour Christ, number one, with joy. Imagine that. He is determined to rejoice in the Lord always and to even advance the gospel through opposition, persecution and upset, and to honour Christ in the process and to do it with joy. Number two, he will do it by the help of the Holy Spirit. He wants the Holy Spirit to help him. He's believing that believers are praying for him. You're praying for me there. Through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. I want to honor Christ in every situation. Pray that I will do. And pray for the help and strength and power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And pray, number three, that this mandate will come to pass by an unashamed, courageous boldness. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. Here's his mandate. It's to honour Christ with joy, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with unashamed, courageous boldness in the face of opposition and difficulty, in the face of persecution. He's under house arrest in Rome. It won't be very long before he's in the lowest prison, in the Mamertine prison in Rome, awaiting execution before Nero. It won't be that long. Here's my mandate, it is to honour Jesus Christ with joy, by the help of the Holy Spirit, with unashamed, courageous boldness, with my body, whether in life or in death. Thomas Carlyle said, "Show me who you honour, and I will show you who you are." Number two, we have Paul's motto. Listen to it as we read together. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." Do you know what the motto and watchword of the Apostle Paul was? It should be the motto and watchword of every Christian. "For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain." Now I wonder if you were sitting next to your friend at work, or perhaps sitting in the pub with someone, talking to someone, maybe sitting in the social club with someone, maybe talking to unconverted members of your family, and you ask them the question, "What do you live for?" I wonder what the answer would be. Some people would say, "Well, for me to live is pleasure." Someone would say, "For me to live is money." Someone else might say, "For me to live is success." Some would say, "For me to live is my career, my ambitions, my dreams." Some people would say, "For me to live is fame." Some people might say, "For me to live is power." Some people might say, "Well, for me to live is an easy life. No pressure, thank you very much. No stress, thank you very much." Others might say, "For me to live is to travel the world." Some people might say, "For me to live is possessions. I want to surround myself with good things, a nice house, a nice clothes, and all those things that life can bring us. Some people might say, for me to live is fitness. Others, for me to live is sport. Others, for me to live is my education. Others, for me to live is politics. Others, for me to live is my religion. Paul says, to me to live is Christ. And if you were to talk to people about death, very often people would say, well, don't talk about death. Like Woody Allen, I'm not afraid to die, but I just don't want to be there when it happens. Don't talk about death, it's terrifying. Don't talk about death, it's one of the unmentionable subjects. No, it fills me with fear and dread. It might include pain. It certainly means loss. It probably means the end of all things. No, says Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What's more, he says, I'm in a twix here. I'm being pulled one way or another way. I can't really make up my mind. I do know this, that living for me means fruitfulness. That's what he says, isn't it? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. It meant fruitfulness. A fruitful life. Of course, the Apostle Paul wrote, you remember, to the Galatians, telling us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, faith. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live a fruitful life full of the Holy Spirit that displays the person of Christ. And not only so, for me, living means usefulness. I'll be around for your progress, he says to the Philippians. So that you advance, so that you progress in the things of God. And not only so, but it means purpose. Because so that in me you have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. If I'm permitted to come to you again, this will redound to the glory of God. And actually, that's my whole purpose for living. So living meant fruitfulness and usefulness and purpose. And for the Apostle Paul, dying meant gain. It didn't mean loss, it meant gain. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't know what you think about that. Just in case nobody's ever told you this, this is for you. You will not get out of this life alive. So you need something more than this life. Don't you? Do you know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? By his death, he justifies men and women, puts them right with God. By his resurrection, he gives them new life, justification, everlasting life, heaven. It's amazing. New life, abundant life, eternal life. There's more to life than this. In fact, the Apostle Paul one day was caught up and had a vision. He said, it's too marvelous to describe. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. Those things which are prepared for us. He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He believed what Jesus said when he said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And listen, I know you've heard me say this before. Because you're avid watchers of television, and I'm not, I do know this for sure. That the idea of heaven, being Dawn French, sitting in a white Rolls Royce with a halo, eating Philadelphia cheese and yawning her way through eternity, is not what I call heaven. And it's not what the Bible calls heaven. No, it's gain. Heaven is real. There's more to life than this. We're absent from the body, present with the Lord, and in a blink of an eye, in a moment, if you and I could travel at the speed of light, 7 times round the world in 1 second, in theory we could go back in time and forward in time. It won't be a second before, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when this mortal will put on immortality, this corruption will put on incorruption, we shall be forever with the Lord. No furrowed brows or heavy sighs or broken hearts or shattered dreams. No condemnation, no separation. Oh, that will be glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Do you know what the Bible calls that? It calls it a living hope. So much so that the Apostle Peter says, we can bless God because we have a living hope to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, which fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. What a motto. What a watchword. What an outlook. What an attitude. What a philosophy of life. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. And in this frustrating bit of weather we're coming and going, I'm going to live fruitfully and usefully and purposefully for the glory of God. Number 3, we have his message. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Here's Paul's message to the church. It's the application at the end of this chapter. Number 1, walk worthy. Number 2, stand firm. Number 3, be united. Number 4, be courageous. In the face of opposition and difficulty, setback, persecution, and suffering. Walk worthy. That's what he wants us to do. Let your manner of life be worthy. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, walk worthy. Let your conduct, your conversation, your lifestyle be worthy of the Lord. We're writing the gospel, a chapter a day, about the things that we do and the words that we say. And we want the gospel to shine from our lives. We want the Bible to be wrapped in shoe leather so that we're living out our Christian life in a way that pleases God, that's worthy of him. Not only so, stand firm. That's what he says, isn't it? I may hear that you're standing firm. That's important. In the midst of all the difficulties, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit the race and quit the fight. Stand firm for Christ in the situation he has placed you, no matter what. Number 3, be united. One mind, one spirit. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You see, here is Paul pleading with the Philippian church to be united in mind and in spirit and in mind. One vision, one heart, one purpose, one outlook, one goal. United in mind and heart and will and purpose. Together, united, we stand. And not only so, be courageous. For don't be frightened in anything by your opponents, This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Don't be frightened. Be courageous. Yes, there was difficulty. I remind you again, the people who tell you that the Christian life is anything less than wet eyes, bent knees, broken heart and scars, more scars and Jesus and the joy he gives, is not telling you the truth. They're not telling you the truth. I remind you that Nero is the emperor. I remind you it won't be long now before from the Mamertine prison, Paul will write the second epistle to Timothy. I'm ready to be offered. You know, I've fought the fight, I've run the race. I want to win the crown. I'm about to be executed. I remind you, read your history books. They chain Christians to chariot wheels and race them around the amphitheaters. Covered them in pitch and set them alight and used them as torches for their night games. Dressed them in animal skins and fed them to wild dogs. They met in catacombs and in secret. There was persecution and opposition. Listen, says the Apostle Paul, this is my message. Walk worthy, stand firm, be united. Don't be frightened. Be courageous. Be courageous. You're suffering for Christ. It is an honor. It is a privilege to suffer for Christ. Paul's mandate. Paul's motto. Paul's message. Take these lessons home with you. Lesson number one. Honor God. Make up your mind to honor him. Whatever is your circumstance, honor God. I love the story. You've seen it in Chariots of Fire, haven't you? Where Eric Liddell in 1924, he won't run on a Sunday. He gets to the 400-meter race and someone slips him a piece of paper. And in it, there's a message from Samuel. Remember? Those who honor God, God will honor. What are your circumstances? Are you gone through divorce? Are you living with singleness? Are you battling with sickness? I've got a difficult job. Do you work with difficult people? Are you finding it really tough just to get out of bed every day? Make up your mind. Lord, give me the grace to seek to honor you in my body, whether I live or whether I die. Help me honor you. Number two, live for Christ. Actually, nothing else is worth living for. Who else can give you new life? Who else can give you abundant life? Who else can give you eternal life? Who else can answer the absolute illusion that this world is all there is? We know there's more to life than this. We know it. It's inside you. God has placed eternity in your heart. Nothing else, no one else is worth living for than for him who loved us and gave himself for us, who redeemed us by his blood, who will guide us through life, who will take us safely to heaven. No one else is worth living for. Live for Christ. I don't mean become a weirdo. I do mean, know him, whom to know is life eternal. Number three, walk worthy. Friends, have the pastor's permission never to come to Bridge Chapel again. Stay in bed on a Sunday morning, read the papers, get yourself a cappuccino and relax. If all your Christian faith is about pretense, performance. If you're going to be committed to Christ, be committed to him. If you're going to say, I'm going to be a follower of Christ, then ask for grace to walk in a way, to live in a way that's worthy of him. And take this lesson home. Because we're all weak, and because we're all naturally those who fear, no wonder the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in that way. Don't be frightened, be courageous. I'm going through the same stuff as you've gone through. Remember this, the last lesson, cry out. Cry out to the Lord. Give me strength, give me grace, give me your help. And remember that there's a whole cloud of witnesses who've been through opposition and difficulty and persecution who are cheering you on as you go along. So pray. Oh, Spirit, come. Put strength in every stride. Give grace for every hurdle. That we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. Let's stand and sing.